ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajani, Text 27.
Saha
Devam
Vartamanaha
Prashnaha
Mrityukale
Vastite
Matim Chakara
Anaye
Bole
Narayana
Abhaye Saivam Vartamano. Saivam Vartamano Jna
Saivam Vartamano
Mrityukala Upasthite
Matim Chakara Tanaye
Bale Narayana Haye Saivam Vartamano Jna
Saivam Vartamano Jna
Mrityukala Upasthite Matim Chakara Tanaye Bale Narayana Haye Saivam Vartamano Jna Chikala Upasthite Matim Chakara Tanaye Bale Narayana Haye
Saivam
Vartamano Jna
Mrityukala Upasthite
Matim Chakara Tanaye
Bale Narayana
Haye Saivam Vartamano Jna
Mrityukala
Upasthite
Matim Chakara
Tanaye
Bale Narayana Haye
Bale Narayana Haye
Saivam Vartamano Jna
Mrityukala Upasthite Matim Chakara Tanaye
Bale Narayana
Haye Saivam Vartamano Jna Mrityukala Upasthite Matim Chakara Tanaye Bale Narayana Haye
Saha
That Ajani
Evam
Thus
Vartamanaha
Living
Achnaha
Foolish
Mrityukale
When the time of death
Upasthite
arrived.
Matim Chakara
concentrated his mind.
Tanaye
on his son.
Bale
the child.
Narayana
Abhaye whose name was Narayana.
Translation. When the time of death arrived for the foolish Ajaniya, he began thinking exclusively of his son Narayana. This is the Prabhupada's purport. In the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam 216, Sukadeva Goswami says, Etavam Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Swadharma Parinishtaya Janma Labha Parakinsam Pante Narayana Sukhi. The highest perfection of human life achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, or by acquirement of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of one's occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. Somehow or other, Ajaniya consciously or unconsciously chanted the name of Narayan at the time of death, Ante Narayana Sutihi. And therefore he became all perfect simply by concentrating his mind on the name of Narayan. It may also be conceded that Ajaniya, who was the son of a Brahmana, notice not here called a Brahmana, who was the son of a Brahmana, was accustomed to worshipping Narayan in his youth, because in every Brahmana's house there is worship of the Narayana Shila. This system is still present in India. In a rigid Brahmana's house there is Narayana Seva, worship of Narayana. Therefore, although the contaminated Ajaniya was calling for his son, by concentrating his mind on the holy name of Narayana, he remembered the Narayana he had very faithfully worshipped in his youth. In this regard, Srila Sridhar Swami expresses his verdict as follows. Etatscha tat upalalabdhanadhi Sri Narayana namocharana mahatnyena tat bhaktir evabhuditi siddhantopayogi venapi drastavya. According to the Bhakti Siddhanta, this is a quotation marks, according to the Bhakti Siddhanta, it is to be analyzed that because Ajaniya constantly chanted his son's name, Narayan, he was elevated to the platform of bhakti, although he did not know it. Similarly, Srila Viraraghava Acharya gives his opinion, Evam Vartamanaha Sa Dvijaha Mrityukale Upastite Satyashno Narayan Akye Putra Eva Matim Chakara Matim Asaktam Akarot Iti Artaha. Quote, although at the time of death he was chanting the name of his son, he nevertheless concentrated his mind upon the holy name of Narayan. Srila Vijaya Dwaj Tirtha gives a similar opinion. Mrityukale Deha Vyoga Lakshana Kale Mrityo Sarva Dosha Papa Arasya Are Anugraha Kale Datta Jnana Lakshane Upasite Vidi Prakashite Tanaye Purna Jnane Bale Pancha Varsha Kalpe Pradesha Matre Narayana Bhaye Murti Vishesha Matim Smaranam Smaratam Chittam Chikara Bhakya Smarat Ityartha. Directly or indirectly, Prabhupada doesn't translate it here, directly or indirectly, Ajaniya factually remembered Narayan at the time of death, Ante Narayana Smriti. Maom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Smati Bhakti Vedam Samanitam Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravari Pacharane Vivishesha Sunyavari Paschacha Desitarane Oma Gyanam Timburandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chatsuru Liritum Chainam Tasmai Sri Gadave Namaha Panchakalpa Vishya Kripa Sindhu Beva Chapatitanam Bhavanayo Vaishnavi Namo Namaha Saivam Vartamano Vishnu. So he was living like a fool. Michikala Vipastita. But then that time arrived. The great writer Henry James is supposed to have remarked on his deathbed, "So it's come at last, the distinguished thing." Well, that time came, Matin Chikara Kaye Pale Narayanakine, but his mind was fixed on this boy, his son, whose name was Narayan. Prabhupada says, began thinking exclusively of his son, Narayana. So the first point that Prabhupada wants to make, of course, is that this instruction, Shrikadeva Goswami, Ante Narayana Smitahi, this was an answer to that question. A pregnant question by Maharaj Bhikkhu. What is the duty of a person, especially at the time of death? Maharaj Prithvi being at that time, not Prithvi, Richard, Maharaj Prithvi, being at that time. So he speaks his answer. That question was in the first canto, so he speaks his answer. After talking about the fools, those people, Griheshu, Grihanevinam, those materials, those people, who have many subject matters for hearing. And then he says that these people, Dehapatya, Dehapatya, Kalatradishu, Atmasaneshu, Asatsu, Api, Tesham, Ramato, Nidhanam, Pashyanapi na Pashyati is very profound. Pashyam, they see but they don't see. The Bible says they have eyes but they see not. Persons devoid of atmatattva do not inquire into the problems of life. Being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children and wives. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see the inevitable destruction. Prabhupada has a nice purport. Very profound one. The material world is called the world of death, meaning Marchaloka. Every living being, beginning from Brahma, whose duration is some of life is some thousands of millions of years, down to the microbial germs, who live for a few seconds only, is a struggle for existence. Therefore, this life is a sort of fight with material nature, which imposes death upon all. This is what people are doing. They're struggling against material nature because the will to live is there, to continue, to thrive, to prosper, to expand. And so, basically what's happened, everyone's declared war on material nature. Well, there's always a maxim of political science: don't get in the war, you're going to lose. Everybody's in the going to lose. So everyone's struggling for existence. Therefore, this life is a sort of fight with material nature, which imposes death upon all. In the human form of life, a living being is competent enough to come to an understanding of this great struggle for existence. It's very interesting. What does it mean to come to a great struggle for understanding? But being too attached to family members, society, country, and so on, he wants to win over the invincible material nature by the aid of bodily strength, children, wife, relatives, and so on. So this is really, this is why they're called soldiers, because this probably, I guess, is from their fallible, army. Why are they called soldiers? Because there's a battle, and the battle is against that. And I think that somehow or other, by amassing like wealth, I mean, when a person has money, a man who has money is called a man of substance. And then he has more reality, more firm being than the insubstantial people who are poor. Right? So he thinks, with money and property and then family, he feels secure. People are trying to become secure. Of course, they also have these other things that make them secure, like security, guard dogs, motion detectors, like Bill Gates' house, famous for the layers of security and so on. So they're all trying to defeat death. But they lose. So it's really going on a deep level, because people just want to survive, the struggle for survival. The most fundamental urge of life is just to live. What do they call it? An instinct for self-preservation. It's very profound. And when it comes down to it, people do all kinds of things just to live. Men climb out of burning trains over the heads of women and children. Guys in a lifeboat eat their companions. So when people think the material world is a nice place, one can point out to them that although everybody wants at least to live, who has succeeded? The failure rate's 100%. So then one should say, what's going on here? What's happening? And so we have to trace back, where does this desire, this will to live come from? This instinct of self-preservation. And it's actually because we're spirit souls. And the spirit soul naturally wants to live because it's eternal. So then we understand our dilemma. I am eternal, but I'm in a place where everything is temporary. Prabhupada describes this as an incompatible situation. So then, how did I get here and why is it here? Actually, in these lectures Prabhupada gave about Prahlad Maharaj, he describes he actually says the instinct for self-preservation is really love of Krishna. It's a kind of a mutation of love of Krishna, because everybody wants to preserve and protect the self. But we think the self is the body. So we're trying to preserve and protect the body, but there's a problem. It's not preservable or ultimately not protectable. But if there's some knowledge, then we know that the self is the spirit soul. And if we have a little more knowledge, we know that actually the self of all selves, the self in the true sense of the term, because I guess it's in Prayers Personified Vedas, Prabhupada points out the term Atma properly belongs to Krishna, and is sort of awarded by kindness to living entities. He's the real Atma. So on. So he's actually the self. So actually this idea to preserve and protect the self is we take care of the Supreme Lord. So it's actually love for Krishna. You can see how much we love Krishna. We don't know what it is. So this is the incompatible situation. People are in the material world. So one can understand this in the human form of life. Because you say, why do I have to die? Presumably animals don't think about this. They're not even aware of it, but we are aware of it. And so, the first thing, if people instinctively, they try to make these arrangements. In 1974, a book came out that won the Pulitzer Prize called The Denial of Death by Avalina Baker. And it's just like, it's almost like a purport in many ways on this purport. Because he's popularizing the psychology of Otto Rank. Who's a student of Freud who split from him because he thought that deeper things were going on with sex. In other words, that actually what human life is really about, the thing that really animates people, is dealing with death. And that the reason sex is important is because it's one way that you try to overcome death. I mean, there's this eros and thanatos of these big the erotic impulse and death are the two big contrasting things in Greek mythology and so on like that. And one finds, for example, that when soldiers are on the battlefield, the first thing they do is frantically have sex. Make it away because it's just, because that's life, you know, it's creation of life. So it's overcome death like this. And then people have Otto Rank makes the case that really all of human society, what it's really about are these artifacts to, in some way or another, convince ourselves of our, not just our immortality, but our significance, our importance, that we matter, that we count, that we're big deals. So this is what, it's like a battle against nothingness in all its forms. And so these are people's substitutions. They're in the material world, and so they're all really kinds of religions. It's like little children, they have a religion of band-aids. They have lots of children. You may be getting old, but your little replicas of yourself go on. And to get fame, everybody in the Renaissance used to recognize the desire for fame is like so important. And again, another immortality project. Art, music, something goes on forever, so on. Even they call them, you know, the immortals. Great artists or writers, some place that the name is used for the immortals. And you're in the Baseball Hall of Fame, or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or the this Hall of Fame, or that Hall of Fame, or that Hall of Fame for everybody. So you're immortalized. But they don't work. They don't work. So that's why all these things that one accumulates are just really their efforts to overcome death. Although he is sufficiently experienced in the matter by dint of past experience and previous examples of his deceased predecessors, that is, deceased, he does not see that the so-called fighting soldiers, like the children relatives, society member, and countrymen are all fallible in the great struggle. One should examine the fact that his father or his father's father has already died, and that he himself is therefore also sure to die. And similarly, his children, who are the would-be fathers of their children, will also die in due course. No one will survive in the struggle with material nature. The history of human society definitely proves it. Yet the foolish people still suggest that in the future they will be able to live perpetually with the help of material science. There's a whole bunch of people that still believe this. This college girl who came here to do a paper told me that she thought that by the time it was a problem, that it was for her personally, they will have solved it. And they really tried, you know. Since I was a kid, I've been seeing that they're going to do this. And they tell these whole stories that, you know, now they've discovered that in the cell there's some kind of chemical switch that you can go. This was at one time in the 80s, they were all talking about this. This chemical switch they found that at a certain point the cell switch goes, and then the cell starts to get old, and we're looking for a way to set it back. It was like a circuit breaker. And they found a way. They did. They found a way. And so they got a whole bunch of mice that they did something to. So they did not grow old. But they all got cancer. Back to the drawing board. But one time, it was all in the headlines how we discovered the switch and we're going to fix it. And then the little notice that they all got cancer was like not on the front pages. Anyway, they think like this. And also the spare parts business, you know, the artificial hearts, artificial discs, transplants. They now have, I mean, just people are really envisioning this. One of the major problem with transplant surgery is of course the immunological system, which rejects things. And so people are seriously working at genetically engineering pigs whose hearts are close to human hearts, genetically engineering pigs, so that they will, you know, their immune system will not react to them. The human immune system will not react to them. And then they'll have big pig farms. They're basically raising pigs for human bodily parts. And they envision all kinds of things like this in the future for various animals, genetically engineered animals, whose whole thing is to grow human body parts. So as your things wear out, you replace them. The definite goal for these people is immortality. They're working on it. It's like you're running a cancer group. I don't want to die. The problem is that the demonic people want to stay forever in this body. This is what they're doing. Anyway, so then Prabhupada goes on, the great ocean of material nature is tossing in the waves of time, and the so-called living conditions are something like foaming bubbles which appear before us as bodily self, wife, children, society, country, man. Due to a lack of knowledge of the self, we become victimized by the force of ignorance and are spoiled the valuable energy of human life in a vain search after permanent living conditions which are possible in the material world. This is where he has his famous statement. The whole materialistic advancement of human civilization is like the decoration of a dead body. Everyone is a dead body, flapping only for a few days. And yet all the energy of the human being is wasted, being wasted in the decoration of his dead body. So first of all, he says, this is what happened here. What do they do, these people? They have many subjects for discussion. They talk about so many things. And then he says, Tadmat bharata sarvatma bhagavan ishvaro hi shrotavya kirtitavyasta smartavyas chichita abhayam. One who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Super Soul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. And then he says, answering this question, Etavan Sankhya Yoga Vyam. So Dhanara Parinishtaya Janmalaba Parapum Sampante Narayana. At the highest perfection of human life. Labha Parapumsam. However you attain it, whether by Sankhya or Yoga or Swadharma or Parinishtaya, what is to understand, is to remember the Personality of Godhead at the end of life. Ante Narayana Smriti. So this is what's happened to Arjuna and Arjuna. Ajanyo, in some way or another. And the interesting is how the some way or another. So it's suggested here, because what he says here is that as a Brahmin son, he was worshipping Narayana, Shivas. And previously, been pointed out that with his little son, when he was eating, he said, "Here's some food. Take this and something to eat. Narayana, take this." Here's the Vedam. You know, so it was like puja. In other words, there was a kind of a ritual that he used to do. You know, in the ritual of puja, you say the name of the deity, here's food, here's drink, here's water. You know. So he was, but not, he had forgotten the Lord, but he'd become attached to his son. This is typical of habits. In the material world, we have substitutes for Krishna. Like Juliet says, Romeo, the god of my idolatry. So we become something else. So this was his substitute. So there's a suggestion here, Prabhupada says, consciously or unconsciously, that although he's saying the name of Narayana and fixed his name, because of this there's some, especially when you do rituals, you know, that the memory is not just in your mind, even it's in your senses, you know, your kinesthetic. It gets burned in a certain way. So just going through certain things will stir the memory, even though you're not fully conscious of it. So somehow, in a subliminal way, it seems what he's suggesting is that he was also, there was some threshold memory of Narayana. So in any case, he was saying the name Narayana, and directly or indirectly, and so on. Prabhupada, in the very beginning of the, in the introduction to this chapter, Prabhupada is indicating the actual state of things when he says, on page 2 of this edition, at the time of Ajamil's death, when the order carriers of Yamaraj came to take him, he loudly called the name Narayan in fear because he was attached to his youngest son. Thus he remembered the original Narayan, Lord Vishnu. Although he did not chant the holy name of Narayan completely offenselessly, it acted nevertheless. And so the order carriers. So he did not chant it completely offenselessly. So, and somewhere else Prabhupada said that it's a form of Nam-Abhasa. It's not the pure name. It's a form of Nam-Abhasa.
Because Prabhupada remarked somewhere that he wasn't chanting the name of Narayana with the idea of sinning on the strength of chanting the holy name. If he had been thinking somewhere, I do all these sinful reactions, but actually, because I'll chant the name of Narayana, I will not have any reaction. Then that would have been Namaparadha. And the Vishnu-dupas wouldn't have come. Because it's Namaparadha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's little better than letters of the alphabet. But if there's Nam Abhasa, and there are different forms of Nam Abhasa, they're listed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by the Namacharya Haridas Thakur, where the name of the Lord is chanted, and it's not exactly offensive, but it's sometimes inadvertent, in jesting. Or in jest, or when he says a Muslim says haram, haram, I've seen a pig or something, unclean, unclean, haram, haram. No, that counts. So there are these different forms. So Ajamil didn't have any intention of doing this, the sinning on the offense of chanting. Which Prabhupada sometimes says is the worst. Different times he says each one, different offenses are the worst. False, and sometimes this one, the worst offense. Because he says one should not engage the holy name in one's sinister purposes. But this can also be subtle, because devotees can think, well, I'm a devotee, you know, and so I'm really not going to. And so kind of get a little more casual about doing something sinful, because they're not exactly planning deliberately, you know, I'll go fall down and then chant, but still they're not careful, because they're thinking, well, because I'm chanting, I'll be protected, and so they become careless. That can be a kind of subtle form, I think, of. But then when if that's there, then the holy name, actually the potencies are not active. But if there's just Namabhasa, which Prabhupada says that this is what happens when one's chanting on the clearing stage. There are offenses still, but one is trying to chant offenselessly. Then when that is there, when there's Namabhasa, then this Namabhasa, according to Haridas Thakur, destroys all sinful reactions, and actually brings the result is mukti. Whereas when the Shuddhanam, pure name is there, the result is prema. So this seems that somehow he was chanting some form of Namabhasa. Enough so that the Yamadeva's, the sinful reaction disappeared, and although the Yamadeva's arrived, they couldn't take him. So then we have discussions about what is justice. So, okay, anything else? You want to translate this last?
If I could offer what I think is talking about, but in the context of a question. We have the, you know, one of the essential names is not to, you know, consider this kind of thing exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are reciting everything, you say haram, or you know, the Western thing, you say bolarama. There's a person who's really attached to bowling at the time of their death.
Yeah, the bolarama. The autorama. The autorama. Yeah, we, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so
we have a city here called Ballachinwood in the suburbs. My statement is, I'm going to Ballachinwood to the autorama. Bolarama. Because they can't be separate as one of the Namabhasas, even if the syllables are separate.
There's no autorama. And it seems that by that, every single person is going to, at some point in their life, accidentally chant holy name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems that then, if we want to say that even just whatever, the most accidental, with no reference whatsoever, is going to save you from the Yamadutas, then how is it that anyone, and how is it that the Yamadutas have anything to do? And then we see here in the Bhagavatam's most profound statement on the subject, where it's trying to give the most extreme example of a person who's not at all fault-like and still gets worse. There was this backstory, and what this is essentially saying, right, if I understand this correctly, first he says Mrityukale, he glosses that, Deha Viyoga Lakshanakale. At the time, characterized by the separation from the body. Then he seems to give, without giving a yanga or anything, he seems to give a different way to read it. Mrityoho of death is Hare, of Krishna. Death is the name of Krishna, and it's the name of Krishna because Krishna, Hari, is Sarva Dosha Papa Hara. He is the remover of all faults and sins. And then, so Hare Anugraha, so the compound means the time which arises because of the mercy of Hari. And that time, Kali, is then Datta Jnana Lakshana. That time which is characterized as that which, the time in which knowledge is given. And then Upasthite has arrived, but he translates it as Fiddhi Prakashi. Prakashite arises within the heart, is manifested within the heart. So he takes the time of death as the time at which the mercy, you know, knowledge arises within the heart by the mercy of Mrityu, Krishna. And then he goes on. For this next part, Tanaye Bala Nara Anathaye. So he just Madhim Shakara. He says Tanaye means poor knowledge, and I don't understand why Tanaye has anything to do with full knowledge. But then
that's Tanaye, that's his son, right?
Yeah. But then Bala is called as Panchavarsha Kalpa, that you're 5 years old. But then Pradesha Matra, that means the super soul. So you have the Bali, he's a Bali, he's a little boy because it's a small person, the super soul. And then Narayana Mahe Murti Visheshe. So this specific form which is known as Narayana, which is a Bala, it's And then Imatim Smarana Samartam Chitam Chakara, which is Chakara. And then Bhakti Asma, that he remembered with Bhakti. So that was the name.
A jungle of peace, Smarana Bhakti Asma. But you never, this is the first time I've really heard it.
Bhakti Asma, right. So, and the same thing that's being said in this other one, that Siddhanta Tofi Yogi Tvena Pi Drishta. And so it's seen in accordance with Siddhanta is that
This is Bhakti, right?
Bhakti in
Bhagavad Bhakti there, right?
And because he was calling the name Bhakti arose. So is it when people want to say that, if you even be just totally accidental, the same effect is going to be there, you're going to be safe in the young Jutas. Is that a mistaken exaggeration that isn't really saying what the Bhagavata is saying? And is there something that needs to be there other than just pure accidental combination of syllables? Is there something that needs to be there in order for
Namacharya says it, he just says it's Namabhasa. And it does these things, but I would. My understanding has always been that, of course, one thing, it depends on if there's this Namabhasa at the time of death, and there's Namabhasa any other time, because immediately, your sins may vanish, but within 2 seconds, you're back in again. Right? That's right. Nobody gets liver.
Yeah.
So I think is part of what Vijayadwaj is saying. The time of death is a special time. In other words, one meets Krishna at the time of death. Because here is the process of surrender in another form. Prabhupada explains this is when people surrender to Krishna, whether they like it or not. What is the process of surrender? We give up everything. Renounce all these false possessions, and then we admit Krishna, you're great, and we bow down before Krishna. Because we do this deliberately in Bhakti Yoga, we see the Lord. Now, this is a nice process of surrender. Those who are unwilling to do that, they surrender to Krishna too, at the time of death. He takes everything away so that knowledge arises. Oh, the world is a permanent, and you have to bow down. You have to recognize I'm not supreme. Your false ego is shattered. And you know how hard it is to shatter false egos. If you try to do it to somebody else, they just get more puffed up. I mean, it's so deeply rooted. So that moment of death, it is a time of, like you said, this mrityu, this Krishna is there in that form. And if at that same time you happen to be saying the name Narayan, also with some, I think, memory traces of previous things, you come to the platform of bhakti.
So if those memory traces, if someone they've never even had any concept of Krishna or even God, and they're attached to Bolo at the time of death, the thing they miss the most is their Bolo Rama. Is it that some result will be that maybe quite so much as Ajamana?
Here the Vishnu do the same with Ganam. Other people may just enter the Brahma Jyoti. This, my theory, is this explains these occasional mysteries of death by spontaneous combustion. You know about these?
The Krishna is saying he's remembered, but how is it only certain people are able to remember him and certain people aren't? But it's like we're reading here, then Smaranat Bhaktiya makes more sense, because he was able to remember with devotion because of there was some practice at one point in his life, like the Bolarama guy. There's not the practice isn't there, like the name may be there, but like the whole practice and everything
But Namavasa destroys all sinful reactions and brings on the platform of mukti. So that may happen, and if you die at that time, my suggestion is maybe the Vishnu Dutas wouldn't come and get you, but you go to the Brahma Jyoti, like those people who die at those yogis who die at the right time when the avenue opens up. They go to the Brahma Jyoti.
But then again, we hear from Bhagavatam, but that's not necessarily so permanent either.
No, it's not. You can just, Prabhupada says about the Buddhists, they take a bath and the Raja River come back. So that's something, that's my intuition. I haven't figured it out entirely. Just that it says this various forms of namabhasa destroy sinful reaction and bring them. So at the time of death, maybe that namabhasa would be more powerful. And if there's something, I don't think it has to be as complete as a jhana, but somehow you just happen to think of devotees in a favorable way, Krishna in a favorable way. That there's something more a little favorable, then I think the Vishnu Jyotis will come.
And I just wonder also, like if I was in Scotland, they have this whole thing of writing the Lord's name as graffiti all over the place, just so that people see it and say it. But it seems that maybe doesn't, we really do want something more than people to just think of the Lord's name as this graffiti they see all over the place. We do want people to somehow engage, have some actual contact with it.
Yeah.
Service to the Lord. So
otherwise, you'd be nothing else to do except write the Lord's name.
Well,
the
place but
this smart enough, that devotion he had, is it? I mean, it's sweet. It's just you don't hear about that so much at the end. It's almost as if he died, or he's dying, and there's no devotion at all. But he can't necessarily. If this is Vijaya Tirtha, he's not necessarily referring to devotion to his son, is he? It has to be towards Krishna.
He makes it clear that it's Pranesha Mata.
To Prabhupada, he
just. You have to just read in the Vedas, because Oh, he's in Germany. Okay.